Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the weekly conversation with Kyle. I'm your host, Kyle. And this week on the conversation, Donald Trump has actually said, I believe the general election is rigged. Well, so do I. I mean, like I told one of my friends, if you believe Hillary Clinton knew nothing about what the DNC did to help her get the nomination, she's never denounced it and saying, hey, what they did is wrong. She never denounced it. She was in on it all along. There's been word out there recently that Trump might get out of the whole political process and, you know, drop out and as nominee and all this. And is it true? I'll get into that, whether I think it is or not. Also, there is a DC Metro officer that's been charged with trying to support an Islamic State. Well, didn't Obama say that ISIS is under control? Sure he did. You know, he said that if you make under $250,000, your taxes wouldn't go up, but we all know that was BS. And don't forget Obama tax. You know, it's really under control. That's why we have all this stuff going on in Germany and in France and like that nightclub. I just want to have someone shoot at him and say, Allah Akbar. But that will never happen. Obama administration has been caught sending $400 million to Iran. At the same time that four Americans were released, the administration claims that that's not the case. There's an old deal going all the way back with Iran, and that's money for that and all this. And it has nothing to do with a ransom to release these prisoners. What do I think? I'll get into that. The world's getting crazier and crazier. What are people doing? Looking for some Pokemon and Pokemon and all that crap. You know, no one cares. The politics as usual. That's what's wrong with this country. Why I try to change it. As my mom would say, if Hillary gets in, the America and the world as we know it, boy, is gone. Not that it's really here to begin with. You know, oh, we need to have 5 million refugees come into this country. You know, we know that Germany and France and all them, they haven't been able to have success with it, you know. We don't need, the proof is in the pudding. You don't need paper to think it's good. Like, what is it, who was that lady, Whoopi Goldberg that says, socialism sounds great on paper. Well, we don't need to know refugees sound great on paper. We know the proof is in the pudding. That much, much more. So join me for the conversation that you're a part of. Today, I want to read a little bit something that this is. If you don't have Smell the Color 9 album by Chris Rice, what are you doing? Check it out. It's amazing. But this is something, this is like means so much. And this is kind of what I do, why I do, and everything. And I may get a little singy because it is a song, but I'm just going to try to read it because it has meaning. And this is going to take the place of my usual scripture verse. It goes, every day is a journey. Every day is a journal page. Every man holds a quill and ink. And there is plenty room for writing in. All we do is believe and think. So will you compose the curse, or will today bring the blessings? Fill the page with your rhyming verse or some random sketchings. Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways. Somehow our souls forgot. Life means so much. Every day is a bank account. Time is our currency. So no one is rich, nobody's poor. We get 24 hours each. So how are you going to spend? Will you invest or squander? Try to get ahead or help someone who is under? Teach us to count the days. Teach us to make the days count. Lead us in better ways. Somehow our souls forgot. Life means so much. Has anybody lived who knew the value of a life? And didn't he give us his own to show the worth of yours and mine? Every day is a gift you've been given. Make the most of the time every minute you're in it. It's a song by Chris Rice. Life means so much. And instead of doing a Bible verse, I just decided to read that because I love that song. And it's what this we need. That's what we need. And that's what I try to do, what I do. Lo and behold, the support group I thought was going to be, because I need help, but I didn't know I'd be helping others. That's why I'm that type of person that is trying to figure out, well, how can I, because like instead of buying the thing, like I made a Sporin, I'm like, well, I'm not paying $45 for a Sporin or $60 or whatever. I can make it for cheap. But then when you look into it, and by the time you buy all the tools and the leather and everything, okay, now you're at like $200 to build the $40 Sporin, but you did it yourself. There's a Native American saying that everything you, like if you make something, part of you is in it. That's why with African djembes, there are the three spirits. The spirit to the tree, the spirit to the animal from the skin, and the spirit of the maker. And some people believe there's a fourth, the player. But that's what I do, And, I try not to be all... Rush Limbaugh, I try to add some other things in there, it's not all politics but it's just one of those things that's what I had one person one time, he goes, you need to go to seminary. You would pack a church. You'd be having like 5,000 people outside that couldn't even get in. And I'm like, okay, good to know. But, it's just one of those things that I just see a world of people that like, oh, it's politics as usual. Nothing's ever going to change no matter what we do. Well, a third party candidate did change stuff. Abraham Lincoln. He freed the slaves. Look at what Jesus did. He was one man. And look at what he did. But we got to do something. We have a nation of people that can probably play a video game better than anyone, but they couldn't tell you what's going on right now in the world. And it's sad. I guess when I grew up, you had like five or six channels, and then we had 12 channels. And I guess it's weird for me because I've babysat for people before, and When I was a kid, you watched what was ever on the TV that your parents had. At 5 o'clock, the news was on, you were watching the news. You weren't on Nickelodeon watching cartoons. Well, my kids are here. I said, no. When I grew up, you watched the news. You learned. I guess my dad at one point was like 2 days away from, he was in in Iran, the American embassy in Iran. He was in there like 2 days before the hostage situation. And I guess if he would have been in there, I'd be set for life, because I guess if I wouldn't have known it, because my dad, when I was young, he lived in Turkey and Iraq and Sudan, and he went to Egypt and did all this stuff, Saudi Arabia, and did all these stuff for the international division of a company that doesn't even exist anymore. And I wouldn't even have probably have known it. I'd have probably been like 20 when I would have realized, wow. I would have just assumed he was gone. But I guess people that are, if that ever happened and my dad was involved, oh, I'd have like free college and all this stuff. And not that I want that, but it's just one of those things that, you have these I guess for me, I'm from a different generation, and I grew up watching the news and seeing what's going on. And, you know, it wasn't like now where it's like, you know, 16-year-olds are watching iCarly and don't even know anything and don't want to know. But then I also think there are those people that, because I know people that will, see, I'll go in politically, but I know I don't get into losing battles. And what I mean by losing battles, I know people that, okay, they're going to vote for Hillary or the Democrat no matter what. You ain't never going to change their mind. You know, Hillary Clinton, she's Jesus Christ. Get over it. Well, no, actually, Obama's Jesus Christ. She's the Virgin Mary. You know, I mean, they're like, she's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. We have to have a woman in the White House. That's why I'm voting for her. Oh, but if Hillary, but if you wouldn't be saying that if Sarah Palin was running. But, you know. But is Obama, is, you know, with all this stuff going on, you know, who knows what to believe in? Because there's so much going out right now. I mean, with Trump, there's speculation that he may drop out of the race and end the campaign. Like, what are they going to do? And is it real? Is it not? I don't buy it. I think it's just, I have seen where there are actual, where they've gone out and they've done surveys and stuff, and they've asked all these people. And what they've found when they've asked these people stuff, they said, you know, Hillary Clinton right now would be like Ronald Reagan, and Trump would be like Walter Mondale. Hillary's like, in when they've done like exit polls just to see like, where do you think like right now that we've exited the RNC and the DNC, where do you think we're going to go from there as far as, you know, like, let's do a exit poll and see who's going to win the nomination right now. And Hillary Clinton, supposedly they claim in all these, when they've gone around, they've asked millions of people, she wins, she's going to win in a landslide. I don't know how. But then most of the people, they only hear the sound bites that the media wants you to hear. They only hear the Jon Stewart type sound bites where they edit it to make it sound like, you know, they believe something that Trump said 30 years ago, but Hillary Clinton, oh, that was yesterday, man. She can change your mind, you know. Well, then, okay, if she can change her mind and she said this yesterday, then why can't Trump change his mind? That was 30 years ago on the Oprah show, for crying out loud. But unless either Gary Johnson or Trump or someone other than Hillary wins that election, you're not going to convince me otherwise to the fact. I believe that it's rigged. I truly believe it. There was a guy that was on, I have it somewhere, and I posted it several times on my Facebook page. I'm going to find it. I'm going to post it. And I'm actually going to post also, Kyle's Conversation is actually a Facebook page. So if you want to get on there and like it, you know, I'm going to post it there too. But there's a video where this guy goes, well, there's a program that they can put into the computers. Well, the voter people, won't they see it? The people running the voting machines? No, they'd never see it. You'd never. And what it does is it, depending, it'll flip the vote 51-49 in favor of whoever they want to have win, whether it's Trump or Clinton or whatever. You'd never see it. They'd never. There was, I think it was a couple years ago, it was either Yahoo or Google where there was a virus put in. And the only way they found out about this virus was from someone working on the inside from like Japan or China. You would never see it. You'd never know it's there or whatever. But it's one of these things that this guy actually said it. He goes, this is nothing. This is like 10 years ago or whatever, like, or 8 years ago, probably now. Oh yeah. You put this program in, it would flip the vote 51-49 in favor of whoever you want to have win. And you would never know it's there. But that, hey, whatever. See, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So, no, that's a guy's. I'm not saying they're doing it. I'm saying it can be done. There's a difference between me and a conspiracy theorist. Me, I'm saying this is a fact that you can do it. And it can happen. Is it going to happen? No. Is Barack Obama going to call martial law? I can't say yes or no. I do know that he can play that card. He can sit there just like Euchre, he can play the Trump card. You know, he can do it. Will he? I don't know. We just have to wait and see. But I do believe that it is a possibility. Because I remember one time somebody goes, yeah, you sound like a conspiracy theorist on your show. So one of my friends was saying that listened. I'm like, well, there's a difference. Conspiracy theorists are someone that you know, I look at it like this. I expose what I believe to be facts. Like, I'm not saying, like, I guess what I'm saying is, okay, like, if I talk about something, I believe it could happen. It's not a conspiracy to believe that the U.S. economy could collapse and the dollar could go under. And you could have $20,000 in a safe in your house, and it's all worthless unless it's gold or silver. And then one of the biggest things you're going to wish you had is food and water. Could the U.S. economy and the dollar collapse? Yes, it could. Can Barack Obama call martial law and stay as president? Yes, he can. Can Hillary Clinton rig the election? Yes, she can. Has she? I don't know. But I believe they're going to do something to ensure she gets in. I'm not a big fan of Jesse Ventura, but one thing I've always stuck in my head is when he was elected governor, he said he was taken down into, like, I guess they have bunkers that, like, in case we were ever to get into a world war or something, it would try to keep people safe and have like 6 months of food and all this. And he was in one of these bunkers, and these people were asking him, he spent $2 million. How did you get elected? You spent like $200,000. He goes, who are you people? Who are you? He goes, we don't have to identify ourselves. We don't have to say anything. How did you get elected? How did you spending $200,000 beat this guy that's got all this money? And they wouldn't say who they were. And it's like, why he would lie about something like that. But, you know, it just makes you wonder. Are things rigged? You know, did they think that he rigged it somehow so he would get elected? And they want to know how he rigged it? You know, I'm sure if Trump rigged it, they'd be all over that. Now, that'd be front page news on every newspaper. If Hillary Clinton rigged it, they'd be like, who cares? They wouldn't care because it's not their agenda. I mean, if you don't know by now that the media is biased, then there's nothing I can do to help you. There's nothing I can do to help you if you don't know that the media is biased by now, the way they edit things. Take someone on Jon Stewart's show or Stephen Colbert's show, a conservative, and have them speak. And when they're done speaking, watch the Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert version, and you'll get two different viewpoints from the same person just because they edited it to make them look like they're a cuckoo. Just like Jesse Marcel Jr., his dad, Jesse Marcel Sr., was the one that came upon all the wreckage at Roswell in 1947. He's touted many times that when he would go on like an Unsolved Mysteries type thing or talk about it, they would like mess with his words to try to make him look like he don't know what he's talking about. Okay, he's a doctor. His dad had very high security clearance. His dad's not just going to bring home a weather balloon. You know, his dad brought them home many times for his son, you know, but they played with his words. Because they need an agenda. They can't. The liberal media cannot come off of truth. They can't take and support a viewpoint with honesty. They got to bend people's words and make them look bad before they. Okay, now that we've kind of edit it to make him sound bad. Now we can get our point across. You shouldn't, if your point is so great, you shouldn't have to edit. You should be able to say, hey, this is what I believe. Now you may have to edit mine if you want to make me look like a retard, but you shouldn't have to edit what people say to support the minimum wage increase or to support to think socialism is great. You shouldn't have to do that. You supporting socialism, you should be able to say, okay, well, this is how we pay for it. And this is how we, this is the perpetual motion socialism. This is where we can enact socialism, and here's the math done out to where we can constantly have money, continuously make money. They have to edit what they say and take people like me and put the words out of context and everything to make us look bad, to make their point look good. But, you know, I'm sorry, but you should be able to tell me, you shouldn't have to edit my words to make me look bad. You shouldn't have to gang up on me to make me look bad. Not that they do, but that's what they would have to do. Like I always say, there's a straight line. And the dead center is the Constitution. Far right is no government at all. Far left is complete government control like North Korea. Where do you want to be on that line? You know, but I do think with Trump, he needs to be more charismatic. He seems like out in the public, he's more almost like the you're fired kind of guy. You know, he needs to open up. And he's just like, I think he's just like the guy that's pent up with all these emotions. Like, we need to do this and this and this and this. He needs to learn how to lie like Hillary does. Not necessarily lie, but like Hillary does. She lies 24/7 and you would never know it. I mean, she sits there and has a rifle behind her hand. Oh, I'm not going to kill you. Oh, I'm pat you on the head. Oh, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, sort of like that rabbi that's in the kosher slaughterhouse. Oh, wonderful cow. I'm not going to slit your throat and, you know, and all that stuff. No. He needs to be that like charismatic guy that's seen more likable, because I think that's his downfall. He's not seen as likable. He's seen as like the, I'm a billionaire mogul and I got to be the a-hole to get the job done. left in the program, folks. I want to thank all y'all for tuning in wherever you are. You know, but I wanna get to this because I wanna so I don't forget. Powerful words from the revealed from the French priest who had his throat slit by ISIS. And it's just powerful because when it was released what he said, it took my breath away, because he goes, "Go away, Satan," were his final words before they slit his throat. And I'm speechless, because I get asked this question all the time, like, what do we do? How do you get rid of an ideology when kids are taught at birth to believe this? God doesn't come unless there's mass chaos. I was talking to one of my friends once, and she goes, there's probably something in every religion that people will believe to the death that's not true. I mean, just look at the Mormon religion. There's people that believe, okay, Jesus was never in America. But there are people that believe that to the death. I mean, there's a lady that said, you know, she used to be like a kindergarten teacher, and said that we need to take down the pictures of the kitties and the bunnies and put up church doctrine so that these kids, that's all they know. And and it's less likely for them to leave. Because I think some people are, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You know, I get that question asked. How do you attack an ideology? How do you eliminate an ideology? I mean, it's not like you can go, okay, let's go to this country and let's bomb them all. There are people who believe that, and there's probably people who believe that ideology in every country, in every nation. You know, when my dad was in Iran, and he was there like right before that whole fiasco with the hostage crisis and all that, and the administration of Obama is coming out saying that this $400 million that they gave is not a ransom to get out and free four Americans. It's because of a treaty and deal and stuff we made a long time ago. I think I have someone trying to call in, so let me see if I can get them on the line. Hello, you there?
Hey, this is Greg in Nashville.
How you doing?
Good to hear you.
Good. Would you like to comment?
Yeah, I mean, my main question is, I've been listening to you for a while, is if you could change one thing in the world today, what would it be?
If I could change one thing in the world today, I think it would be anything. It would be, it would be the heart of the people, you know, because I feel like there's so much hate in this world. And I think if we can change the hearts of the people to do for others and not rely on people doing for us. Because I have so many friends, it's like, well, what can you give me? What can you give me? Instead of, well, how can I help others? How can I do others? And that's something that I think I would change.
The kind of the conclusion that I've come to is I don't disagree with you at all. And in spite of that desire, there are evil people in the world that don't hear that. They don't feel that. They'll never respond to that. And
yeah.
I believe that if I say to myself, if more people believe that love and kindness and all these amazing things will somehow miraculously overpower the evil in the world, then the evil will just simply fade away. I sort of get into an area of naivety, and this is just me. I own this. I'm speaking only to me in what I've gone through in my life. I'm 47. Just as an example, I am not a political person. I don't care whether there's a Republican, a Democrat, a gay, a lesbian. None of that matters to me. All I know is this person evil? Are they psychotic? What are they doing? How do they treat people? And what are their motivations? And when I look at who's running for office and who's currently in political office, all I see are psychopaths. All I see are evil people. And it doesn't matter what color they are, what sex they are. The bottom line is what do they do as compared to what do they say? And there's a massive difference between those two. And I think that that's what, just for me, what makes most people go, I'm not real happy with what's going on right now. But the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter how much I sing Kumbaya or how much I pray or how much I wish these people would change. There comes a time when psychosis needs to be met with force, and it needs to be stopped, because if it isn't, it'll do nothing but wreak more havoc on, you know, the general population, people that just want to live in peace. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Oh, totally. I totally agree with you, because that's, I'm like I've always said, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a human first and American second. And I look at, okay, what has he done in the past? What has he done recently? And has he done what he said he's going to do? You know, because I believe, because like there are people, I believe you can help some people in prison. You can rehabilitate a few people in prison, but there are many people in prison that they're psychopaths. They've killed 75 people. You're never going to get them to, they're never going to be rehabilitated.
Yeah, there's generally speaking, I believe that the population of people in prison that are truly psychopathic and that are murderers would be an extremely small percentage. I believe the vast majority of people that are actually in prison, when I say majority, let's use a number, Greg. I'm just going to use a number. Probably, I'm just saying 90%. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. I think 90% of the people that are in prison are there for ridiculous crimes, non-felony crimes, non-violent crimes, ridiculous drug possession crimes. And I think there's a warped sense in the general public, and I'm speaking only for me, of who we think is actually in prison and what the purpose of prison actually is. Prison is a for-profit corporation in the United States. And these tiny little things, and I'm not saying smoke dope and run around and do whatever you want. Vast majority of people in jail are there for non-violent felonies, and they're basically being used by the state because when they're incarcerated, the state makes money. And I think that I take that, and I'm not trying to steer the conversation, the populations of prisons and what's happening there, and I equate that to people who still believe that voting actually makes a difference in this country because they don't understand what voting really is, what it started out to supposedly be, and what it has really become. And my problem with America is the vast amount of ignorance and the vast amount of action that is being taken based on that ignorance and how dangerous that actually is to all of us as human beings.
Oh, I agree, because I'm a huge cannabis supporter and I've had some of my friends that disagree with me. I'm like, well, then why does the government own a patent on cannabis? Since 1982, Irvin Rosenfeld's been getting 300 rolled marijuana cigarettes for, you know, a month since 1982, and you have all these people, and I agree with you. I believe that there's a crap load of people in jail for ridiculous crimes because a lot of these jails now are going into private prisons where they have, it's a money-making operation. You can increase the mandatory minimums, you're going to get more money. And these people are going to be, since all they did was have cocaine or marijuana, they're going to be easy to take care of. They're not going to be a problem. They're not a murderer. They're not a killer. And it's just a for-profit business, and it's wrong.
Yeah. And the, I don't want to say the grandfather, because he didn't invent anything. All he does is use, abuse, and he's like a locust. He just moves in, and she's the same way. They move in, they consume, and then they move on when there's nothing left to be consumed. We're talking about the Clintons, the mandatory sentencing, you know, the three strikes are out and all this. That was sort of born of the Clinton era. And none of that really matters. It doesn't really matter because people are trained to focus on, well, if you are for this person, then I can't talk to you. If you're not a Christian, I can't talk to you. If you're not a Muslim, I can't talk to you. If you're not a Republican. I heard this really, really great little snippet on one of my favorite news sources that's not mainstream, by the way. And it said, it's time for the adults to step into the room. And I believe that in terms of human consciousness, I believe that in terms of the way Americans live and act and behave, it's time for the adults to step into the room. Because in the United States of America, they're nothing but a bunch of immature teenagers running this country. They have an unlimited credit card, and all they are doing is using, abusing, and they are hurting the rest of us. And here's the problem. The people that are mature are standing by like a bunch of little babies saying, I don't want to say anything because I'm afraid of what my neighbor will think of me, because they've been trained to be politically correct. And the time for that is over. You know, there's a tsunami coming onto the shore, and let's just say it's 300 feet tall and it's moving at 600 miles an hour. Doesn't matter what I call it. Doesn't matter if what I call it offends you. The bottom line is that wave is coming and it's going to hit the shore. So that's kind of my biggest point of frustration is just, you know, calling a spade, okay, fine. But once, let's just say we do identify the issue, whatever the issue is for me or you or whoever it is, then what do we do? Voting is not the answer. It doesn't work. How do I know this? Look at the state that we're in. Voting is a lie. It's a deception.
Oh, it's a scam. And I mean, I guess I'm one of those people when you watch the thing, it was Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel, and they got these people that like, well, Kim Jong-un just successfully had a hydrogen bomb test. Do you want to congratulate the North Korean leader? At worst, I would have hoped people would have said, okay, what do you mean by hydrogen bomb? They're like, oh, we praise you. Yeah, I guess if you put your mind to it, Kim Jong-un, you can do anything. These kids don't know anything. And it's just scary because they are because it's really, in my opinion, very, very scary. Because when you have people that don't know this and then they go to vote, well, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. I don't care. We need a woman in the White House. You're not going to change my mind. Shut up. Don't talk to me. And the biggest thing I see is you have kids that the congressmen, I'll call them kids. They dig their hand into the cookie jar and they grab two cookies instead of one. And well, he didn't get in trouble getting two. So this person gets three. They have an unlimited credit card and they spend and spend and spend and they, and we're the ones that are suffering, and all these kids don't understand and don't care and don't want to care.
Yeah, I've been in banking for this next summer will be 17 years. I'm still in banking. I'm just a normal guy, normal local community, nothing big like Wall Street or anything like that. But I've definitely learned that the strongest thread that I try to teach people about is understand how money works, understand how money is created. I have to understand Wall Street. I have to just break through the smokescreen, break through the words, break through the deception, and understand the basics of how Wall Street works. And I do know this, 17 years in the business, Wall Street banks control politics in the United States. And all that means is this: lobbying means the people that are in power prostitute their power to people with money. That means I buy your vote, I get what I want, and that's why we are where we are. And for anyone in the United States to continue to ridiculously believe that we live in a free market economy, that we live in a capitalist society, that we live in a nation where when you vote, your vote counts, and that they add up all the votes, and whoever gets the most votes wins, is living in a dream world. And I'm tired of having conversations, fruitless conversations, with educated people. Education means nothing to me. College means nothing to me. Life experience means nothing to me until you study what voting has become in this country, and until you study what Wall Street does to politics in this country, you know nothing. You know absolutely nothing about how this world in the U.S. actually works. And it's so tiring for me. It doesn't mean I know everything. It doesn't mean I'll ever know anything. It just means this. I'm sick of people believing the empty patriotic lie that you cannot complain or voice your opinion until you vote. I am sick of that. It is bereft of reason and logic, and I'm so tired of it. And there's people in this country still that are willing to kill other people for that belief, that empty, bereft belief that you must vote to make a difference. I'm tired of it. And I'm almost like, what is it going to take to wake people up? And a good friend of mine said, there's actually only two things, Greg. One is a violent revolution, and the other one is a war, a takeover from another country. And I believe this is just me. It'll be a sort of a combination of the two, but it doesn't really matter. The bottom line is this. If you're a slave, me included, are you comfortable being a slave? And if you are, it's okay. Continue to be a slave. If you're not comfortable being a slave, what are you willing to do to not be a slave? And those are really the only two questions that anyone needs to be talking about. And I will say this, if I listen to mainstream media, then I deserve to be deceived. Jimmy Kimmel means nothing to me. Entertainment is all that is. That's all that is.
Yep. Oh, exactly. Like there was a stand-up special. This is years ago with George Carlin. And he said this. He goes, the government wants stupid, idiotic people that are just smart enough to wake up in the morning, brush their teeth, get a shower, start their car, go to work, come home, and kiss their wife and do it over and over again and not realize that they're getting effed in the butt every day by a government that is full of bureaucrats that is just taking, well, they want, okay, let's make, and we're going to take, and we want to have some gun legislation, so we're going to make it harder to get a gun and have stricter background checks. Well, that sounds great, but then what's going to happen? All it's going to take is one person to be killed with a gun, whether it's legitimate or not, and they're going to say, well, that law wasn't strict enough, and then they just keep taking more and more and more of your freedom away before you have none. And if people think that the elections are the only way to change your vote, I look at it like this. In 1950, the tobacco industry had proof that cigarettes cause cancer. They kept buying votes from people as the time went on to, you know, okay, well, let's get off. Since we have TV commercials and they can put commercials that are anti-smoking, we're going to get off the air and we're going to pay all these lobbyists and all these people millions of dollars and we're going to buy votes. And that's how they were so successful. It's not.
Yep.
I don't really believe in the election process because there's so much illegal stuff and people voting. I mean, there are countries that have higher voter turnouts than we do and they get shot at to try to vote. And here you can vote. And to me, I support it, but at the same time, it's kind of like I feel like they candy coat it because in the end, if you've got the money and you can pay off a politician, you can get whatever you want.
Yeah, the interesting thing about voting is I'm 47. I served 5 years in the Navy. I served in the original Desert Storm. I didn't know then what I know now. What an oxymoron that is. I served 5 years in the Navy, right? I was part of the killing machine. I didn't know then what I know now, and that's okay. I now know other things. But I've never registered to vote. I never will. I never have, and I have no desire to. And there's no one that could come into my consciousness to make me say, maybe I'll go register to vote because I understand what that really is. And I love this. Somebody said this recently and it just sort of made me think, you know, it's just sort of a quote. If you don't put bread on my table, does your opinion matter? And I try not to be that jaded, but ultimately we're getting to the point in this country where our luxuries are no longer really there in front of us to just sort of use and exercise. In other words, we're getting pushed deeper and deeper into a smaller and smaller corner. So I am of the mindset of if you don't put bread on my table, your opinion does not matter to me. Because for me to say that your opinion does matter to me, I'm actually just being nice to you. And I don't mean you, the host. I mean you, anyone. I'm just being nice to you. And I'm trying to be cordial and I'm trying to be politically correct. I don't have the luxury of doing that anymore because we're getting to the point where these opinions are actually infecting the collective mind. And it's the bottom line is if I know there is a tiny, minuscule infection of arsenic in my drinking water supply, I'm not going to reason with you. If I see you continuing to put that poison in my water, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I'm going to stop you from doing what you're doing because I know that if I don't, and I drink that water, I am also going to die. So political correctness doesn't matter anymore when we're talking about just physical existence. And that's where we're being pushed to, the rhetoric and the talk and the coffee table conversations that are an amazing, awesome thing. I mean, I've grown up with them. I'm 47. But it's getting to the point where there's no more time for that. It just has to get down to, there's no more BS. We don't have time for BS anymore. And I read a little headliner, I don't know, yesterday or whatever. And I don't even know if he even actually said it, but supposedly Clint Eastwood was interviewed and referred to the culture of political correctness in the United States as a pussy culture. And I'm not saying that to be ugly or cuss. I'm just saying he's talking about just milquetoast people tired. They don't know how to stand up and say, this is my idea. This is my thought. This is where I am, because they're afraid of offending people. And I kind of sort of do that a little bit once in a while, but typically I tend to be more brash. And I've been very rude on some talk shows. I don't try to make people believe what I believe. And there have been times when I've had a few too many beers and been a little too ridiculous. But the bottom line is if I'm just like, can we just open our minds and just not repeat what we've heard and just ask a different question and be okay with upsetting, you know, the general consensus, upsetting what is considered to be normal, and just going, what if this, you know, what if that?
Yep. That's how I am, because I did this one time. I told someone, I said, I could probably find something offensive about any word in English language. You know, this, all this PC. And the thing that got me was when they tried to say the Redskins was offensive. And when they did like survey after survey, every time they came back, Native Americans had no problem with that use of the Redskin. And they tried, the liberal media tried to push it down our throats that this, we can't offend Indians and Native Americans, and we cannot use the Redskin name and all that, and it backfired. And I think people are finally in small groups starting to get fed up with this PC world that everything has to be politically correct, and we need to stand up and say, okay, this is what I stand for. If you don't like it, sorry, I'm going to speak my mind now, not at the election.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand up now. Because, I mean, because to me, I think the election's already, I think Hillary Clinton's going to get it. It's already been pre-bought. They've already paid. She's already been paid. And it's like, you know, we need to, we can affect more change. I mean, look at Martin Luther King Jr. He affected more change, and he wasn't a politician, and it wasn't voting he did.
Yeah. I hate using a movie as a reference, you know. Well, we all need to remember what the movie said. There's a silly line in this silly movie. It's called The Incredibles, where the bad guy, he said, when everyone is special, no one will be special. And I equate that to when everyone is overly sensitive, no one will have any sense, right? So if everyone becomes politically correct, no one will have any sense. You know, there won't be any more common sense left, is kind of what I'm getting at. And it's a scary journey. I started paying attention 16 years ago, 2000, and it's a study. I'm finding now when I call into social media, like maybe live video feed and stuff, is 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds going, you know, Greg, you know, you're just a conspiracy theorist. And I've heard that term so many times, it makes me want to vomit. And they say, you need to show me proof, because you're telling me that the Federal Reserve runs the entire country and the planet. And they're like, show me. They want me to Google them a link that will show them definitive proof that what I'm saying is true. And I'm like, do you know how asininely lazy that is for you to demand of me proof, to send you one link to one website that will convince you, which is not what I'm trying to do, that what I'm telling you has any validity. And it's actually scary. And it's kind of like, I don't have the luxury of saying, okay, I sort of get what you're saying, and I'm going to kind of overlook some of the things that you're saying, and I'm going to allow you that space to be slightly not correct. And I get that. And that's kind of how societies work. People get along. People don't kill each other when they disagree. But we're getting painted into such a tight corner now. I don't have the ability to do that anymore. And it's more like, get the fuck out of my way. Stop talking nonsense. And you can go sing Kumbaya over there with your friends that are politically correct. I understand that. And you can demand definitive and omniscient proof of what I'm telling you. All I'm telling you is if you don't take the time, and it takes time to study these things, to pay attention, to come to your own conclusions, get out of my way. I have no room for you. Because when revolution, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's, it doesn't matter what the revolution is or what it looks like. You are not going to block my path. I will walk over you, through you, or do whatever it is that I need to do to get you out of my way.
Oh, yeah. I 100%, that's how I feel so much. I'm like, I don't, because I, like I've said this before in the program many times, that there are people that, okay, a UFO could land on the White House lawn and it could be interviewed. And I have friends that no matter what you show them, no matter what you tell them, even if it comes out of Hillary or Obama's mouth, they still won't believe you. And it's like, I don't have time for you people. Hillary Clinton just said that she was a Goldwater girl and she was proud of it. That Goldwater was against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. She wanted to resegregate America, and you're going to vote for her as a black person? But
yeah. Okay.
You know, it's like, I guess I don't have time for people like that. They just, you can't, if you can't educate them, I just like, okay, move on. I got more important things.
I kind of hate to say this. A slave deserves what a slave tolerates. And someone hearing that could say, how dare you? You don't know what slavery is. I beg to differ. I know exactly what slavery is. I was born into it in 1969, and I'm still living in it in 2016. How do I know this? Because the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. And if you do the math, you ignorant shit, that's way before 1969. I was born into financial slavery and economic slavery and political slavery, and I'm still living in it. So don't talk to me about being a slave, whether you're black, brown, green. I don't really care what any of that is. Those terms are used to make us be divided against each other. Well, this happened 400 years ago. Okay, fine. I get that. Your pain is no bigger than my pain. Your suffering is no bigger than my suffering. The only slavery that I can relate to, it started in 1913. It's called the Federal Reserve Act. And that's what's happening right now. And it's not just in the U.S. It's global. But some say, well, the dollar is no longer going to be, you know, the currency that's used to buy petroleum. I get that. And that's changing as we speak, but it'll be replaced with something else. Whether it's a global digital currency, it doesn't matter. The slavery will continue until the slaves wake up. Now, there's only a few percentage of the slaves that are actually awake, but the problem is they need a swell of people that are willing to physically, intellectually, or whatever it is, say we're moving against the slave master. And right now, the number of awake slaves is much smaller than the number of asleep slaves. And that's why you continue to see this ridiculousness known as the DNC and Trump and all these. It's just circus. It's bread and circus. In Mexico, when they have the bullfight back in the old days, they'd throw the spears into the bull and the bull would eventually die. Then they'd roast the bull and then they'd throw that meat to the poor. And it's no different than the Roman Colosseum. We must sate the masses. We must sort of placate their bloodlust for war and make them feel that everything is okay and that the king will feed them. And that's what politics is in America. But you can't have that conversation with people that go to football games, that go to concerts, that know more about what's on TV and their favorite sports team than what's happening in their children's own lives. I refuse to try to reason with these people. I'm done. It's over with. I'm not having conversations with those people anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten to that point. Like, and I've said this years ago. I said there were people that, like, they could tell you exactly where John and Kate plus 8 and their kids were, but when it came to their own kids, they didn't have a clue. And that's a big problem in this country, because we have awake slaves and asleep slaves. Like I've said before, look at the facts. When they started the war, when Lyndon B. Johnson started the war on poverty, poverty rates were going down. It hasn't helped. They have a program in Indiana like, well, if you make under this amount of money, you can get rental assistance, and it's like $200 or something a month. And if you ever go over that, you got to pay back all this money. And this guy goes, well, if you're going to be making this amount, if you're going to pay this much in rent, and you're going to be only able to make this amount of money, they're entrapping you. There's no, you should be making way more money than this to be paying that $600 or whatever it was in rent that you would get with that special deal from the state. It was, yep. They basically were entrapping you. And I believe that's what they've been doing since 1913. Yeah. They're enslaving you.
That's it. And it's just scary. I love the core words that so many people wave on the flag, and they put the flag around them, and I believe they don't know. I don't believe that people who do truly know the deception say, I understand the deception and the slavery and the killing and the murdering and all that, but I choose to not say anything about it. The core words, Constitution, Congress, con is at the key of everything. Con. Con means to lie. Con means to be duped. And it's just, I love the red, white, and blue. You know, I want to wrap myself in the flag. And then you take a guy like Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine. He was dragged into court and to say, okay, free speech, I'm taking it to the nth degree. And he took an American flag and he turned it into a diaper. That doesn't upset me. That does not make me mad. I'm like, you know what? If that's what freedom means, that means there's extremes of freedom. And I have to tolerate those if I don't agree with them. I don't disagree with that. He was just being flamboyant. Okay, fine, he was flamboyant. Who cares? But the bottom line is, like we said, people that are asleep far outnumber the people that are awake. And it can be frustrating. It can, but I'm just glad that at least people are still talking about it. And I really do like free speech, but the thing about free speech that bothers me is this, and someone taught me this. They told me this. I didn't really think about it this way. They said, if all you do, Greg, being me, is love a freedom of speech, meaning you're free to say what you want to say, and you get hooked into that, and that's where you stay, then that's not good enough, because freedom to say what I want to say means nothing. I have to have the freedom to do what it is that I want to do, and I don't mean go kill people and rob and steal and all these other things. But if all I'm into is freedom of talking, I'm missing the other half of the equation. Freedom of action doesn't mean someone's stopping me. I don't have police standing at my door going, Greg, you can't talk on the radio. That's not happening. But if I perceive that that's happening and I use that as an excuse not to act in ways that I can freely act, then I'm really, really missing my power and I'm really missing the picture.
Yep, exactly. I mean, because so many people, there's a half, they don't, okay, yeah, you have freedom of speech, but if you have freedom of speech, but you can't have any other freedom, what's the point of it? And
absolutely.
So, you know. Well, I'm going to let you go. There's a gentleman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually can't see your time frame because I had to turn off the other thing, but I just thank you for opening the mic. I greatly appreciate it. And, you know, I've been podcasting since 2012, and however long you've been doing your thing, keep doing it. And just know that it's not about saving people. It's not about trying to convert people. That's religion. That's dead. That's just me. You just continue to have the conversation, continue to talk, continue to do what you do. And it's not a matter of who comes on board and who agrees. And, well, I don't see any change. And there's always going to be a Hillary. There will always be a Caesar. There will always be a dictator, and there will always be someone willing to capture other people's human energy. And this is the part that's hard for me, and this is what, yep, I'll die really scratching my head. There will always be people willing to give their power. There will always be people willing to kneel to the Hillary Clintons and to the despots, yep, and to the Constantines. And I have to be okay with that. And yep, I'm a little more okay with it now than I was 5 or 10 years ago. So thank you so much for opening the mic. I really do appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Greg, and have a great night. Bye.
You too. Thank you. All right.
I want to thank Greg for tuning in and all of you, but that's what we try to do. If you're not going to believe what I have to say, I don't have time for you, but if you want to listen and learn and be educated, that's great, folks. I want to thank everyone throughout the world that listens. Protection of divine providence. We mutually place to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Till next week, good night.